بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله: إمام عادل، وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله عز وجل، ورجل قلبه معلق بالمسجد، ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه، ورجل دعته ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله، ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه، ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. متفق عليه. This hadith, as I mentioned earlier, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned a few ahadith, or has introduced a few ahadith in this chapter that were discussed previously. Because of those ahadith having subject matter in them that was pertinent to this chapter also, which deals with the virtue of shedding tears out of the shock and inclination for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of the khashiyat and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This particular hadith, we discussed it in great detail in the past, so we will suffice just with the translation. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are seven categories of people that will be shaded in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh and throne. On a day when there will be no shade besides that shade, a just ruler, a youngster whose youth was devoted to the worship and service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a man whose heart revolves around and is attached to the masjid, two people that love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get together on the basis of that love and separate on the basis of that love. A man who is invited by a woman of position and beauty to commit haram, wrong, zina, etc. And his response is that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he desists from the temptation. A person who gives charity in such a manner that he conceals it so that his left hand does not know that which his right hand had spent. And pertinent to the chapter under discussion, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, a person who in solitude, we discussed this quite a bit, the importance of khalwat, solitude, what we call lone time, time which is for you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَقَلْبًا وَقَالِبًا. قَلْبًا وَقَالِبًا, this Arabic expression means inside, outside. Divest and empty yourself of everything but Allah. This is very, very important that on a daily basis, and a very unique and effective time for this is the time of tahajjud. Or some section of the night. We have to be a little bit hard on ourselves. Particularly in winter, it's easy because the nights are very, very long. So if we get to bed a little bit early and try and wake up at least, if not 1 or 2 hours, at least half an hour every night. We go on the musalla, few rakats of salah, a little bit tilawat of Quran, a little bit of Allah's zikr and dua, and reflect, ponder, khaliyan, there must be khalwat, total solitude in the silence of the dead of the night, when it is only you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder over the ephemeral existence in this world, how short our life is. Today we have health, tomorrow it's sickness. Today we have youth, tomorrow it's old age. The wealth which we are gathering, we are constantly fearing the loss of it. Everything in this life is temporary. To realize that this very existence is temporary. And that qabr is calling us out every day, shouting to us. That home of insects, loneliness, darkness, solitude is awaiting us. So don't be deceived by the glitter and glamour and the lights and the attraction of this world. The little bit of time every day to take out to think about this. To think about the day when we have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the actual purpose and object of this entire life. That we are preparing for that one day. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a man in total solitude, he ponders and reflects of all this. ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ خَالِيًا. And then he reaches a point, فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا, that his eyes brim over with tears. This person also will be given shade underneath Allah's arsh on a day when there will be no shade besides the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh. When Abdullah ibn Shakhir radiyallahu ta'ala nuqal, ataytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa yusalli wa li jawfihi azizun ka azizil mirjali min al buka. To be able to cry, to be able to shed tears. Many times I mentioned this. Logically, when does a person cry? Sometimes people cry out of happiness, but more often than not, when does a person cry? He cries when he is distressed. He cries when he is in sorrow. He cries when he is in grief. Sometimes he's crying over some woman. Sometimes he's crying over some sickness or pain. Sometimes he's crying over some financial or material or physical loss. But there is one cry that is matlub in Shariat, that is desired in Shariat, and that is to cry in the shock of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the desire of Jannat, in the desire, in the khawf of Jahannam. This cry, my respected brothers, is on the one hand, there may be that sorrow, there may be that distress, there may be that sadness, but together with that, in this cry, there is a maza, there is an ecstasy, there is an enjoyment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person in his heart. And wallah, those who are blessed with this, there is no pleasure, haram pleasure, or even permissible pleasure in this world that a person can ever have, which will match the ecstasy and enjoyment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives those who cry out of the shock of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that is matlub, it is something that is desired. In fact, ulama kiram say, this ability to shed tears for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say this is one ni'mat, one bounty, that even in Jannat you will not get. You will only get that in this world. Jannat, there is no crying. Jannat, there is no sobbing out of the shock and inclination. There it is only happiness. And there is an ecstasy that Allah has attached to this. But that ecstasy is reserved for this world. And it is only here. And we find that the true friends of Allah Ta'ala, when they were departing from this world, they would acknowledge that they are going to lose this ecstasy of the moments of solitude when they cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that intense pleasure that Allah Ta'ala kept in it. They acknowledge that they will lose, that they are going to lose that. And they cried further and remonstrated with themselves over this loss. So this is something that we have to acquire. This is something that we have to desire. When Quran is read, to be able to cry. When listening to Allah's kalam, to be able to cry. When we raise our hands in dua, to be able to cry. To get up in the night and cry. And this is why this is something so desired and so matlub in Shariat, that ulama kiram say, Bakiyan o mutabakiyan, if you can't do it, then make like you are crying. So that perhaps one day Allah Ta'ala will bless you with this ability to cry. This was Da'bu Salihin, Da'bu Al-Anbiya. This was the practice of the pious, and it was the practice of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, as we can see in this hadith. The narrator is a sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Shakhir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was from the inhabitants of Basra. His two sons, Mutrif and Yazid, narrate from him. 6 ahadith are narrated from him, and according to another narration, 9 ahadith are narrated from Abdullah bin Shikhir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He narrates, he says, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was reading or performing salah. Ostensibly, this was at night. Because obviously he approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was alone. And he says, Wali jawfihi, from the stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Azizun ka Azizil Mirjal. The sound of a boiling kettle was emanating min al buka, from crying. So he was not just crying silently, he was crying volubly, he was crying loudly. And this is why normally when we describe someone's cry, we say it is coming from the chest. Or physically, if you ask a doctor, he'll tell you the crying is coming from the nostrils or the throat, there the sound is coming from. But here he says, Wali Jofi, from the stomach, to indicate the depth of the sighs, to indicate how loud and how voluble the cry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And he describes it to the boiling of a kettle. Azizun ka azizil mirjali min al-buka. Ulama ikram say that this was a quality of all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam. And it is mentioned in the books of tarikh that Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam, particularly the great grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, dhalika mimma warrathahu min abihi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was his special quality. In fact, it is mentioned, like I said, in the books of history, that the crying of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam could be heard from a distance of 1 mile. From 1 mile away, the sound of this Nabi crying could be heard. It's mentioned about Dawud alayhi salam. Days on end, he would cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we hear in this hadith, Azizun ka azizil mirjali min al-buka. Like a boiling kettle. How much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would cry. Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sahabi says, oh, it was Fajr Salah. I read Salah in the last saf of the masjid. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu came to the verse, Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah. Surah Yusuf. Where Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam says that my pain, my grief, my hurt, I present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama ashku bathi wa husni ilallah. And I know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which no one else knows. In other words, I cut myself off from everyone and I place my pain, my dukh, my dard before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that, this verse is in Surah Yusuf. Zahabi says that Umar radiallahu ta'ala, I could hear his sobbing and crying in the last saf of the masjid, and he could not continue reciting Quran. فَإِذَنْ شَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. Zahabi reads this verse, and he's unable to continue. He starts sobbing inconsolably. In fact, we find incidents, Sayyidina Mawlana Yusuf Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in Hayatul Sahaba, that the crying of Sahaba Ikram at night in Salah would make the Malaika cry. Often it would be that a Sahabi would present himself in Fajr Salah and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would tell that Sahabi of his crying through the night. Abkat al-Malaika. You caused the Malaika to cry. So we find, my respected brothers, this is a quality that we have to, like I said, even if you force yourself, even if it is not even real tears, like sometimes children, when they want something, what they do? They pretend to be crying. Child is not really crying. The moment he gets what he wants, straight away this crying stops. So he realizes the child was pretending. This is matloob. Pretend to cry if you're not actually crying. Pretend. Allah Ta'ala loves this. This was the quality of every Nabi of Allah. And not just crying, they would cry loudly, they would cry volubly. Today, this crying, shedding our tears, this has become the exception. It's not supposed to be the exception. It's supposed to be the norm. It's supposed to be the normal practice. A mu'min is raqiqul qalb. His heart is soft. Very quickly he sheds tears. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, his head is in the lap of his wife, he starts crying. She looks at him crying and she starts crying. This is mentioned in the riwayat. So, Ya sir, ma yubkik, why are you crying? What an answer she gives. She says, I saw you crying, so I started crying. This is how soft their hearts were. I saw you crying, so I started crying. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi would give a khutbah. Lahum haneen. We heard the hadith earlier. The deep sobbing and crying of the sahaba could be heard. So my respected brothers, it's something that is very important that we inculcate. We develop within ourselves this quality. Ask Allah Ta'ala to give you the ability. This is the one ni'mat. This is the one ni'mat and bounty. Great maza and ecstasy Allah has kept in it. The jannati will be deprived of this. The place for it is only this dunya. The short life that Allah has given us, this is the only place where we can experience this beauty or this ecstasy of shedding tears for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq subhanahu wa ta'ala.